strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Markson in for Broomhead. Thanks for being with us on this beautiful Monday. Boy, it's going to be a little cooler today if you've been getting used to the 6 days in a row of 115 degrees. The high today supposedly going to be about 109, but it's warming up again towards the weekend. I don't know what's going on, but it's hot. It's dang hot. It's just real hot, and it's not fun. And I'll tell you, this is the record supposedly is 6 days in a row of 115 degrees or more. That's supposedly a record in the valley. But more than that, here's something that we saw this morning that shocked me. So because we have 6 days so far of 115 degrees or more, forget the in a row thing. That is in the history of weather here in the valley. That is the third most days of 115 degrees or more. Which surprised me, right? It seems like we have more than that on an annual basis, but I guess not. And it's only June, right? I mean, we're not even – it's June 20th. We have 10 days left in June, and we're not even in the hot months of July yet. So this is a little scary. The record – what do you think the record is for the most days at 115 degrees or more in the Valley of the Sun? What year was that? 2020. It was last year. So this is not good. I know weather isn't all happened right away, and you don't say there's global warming because it's hot today, but there were 14 days at 115 degrees or more last year. We've already had six this year. It's not a good sign. It's just a little scary because they've been talking about how, you know, the global warming thing, and I know the heat island is an issue for us. The more we build and the more roads and everything else, that it just keeps adding to the heat. And that's the biggest issue we have now, right? I mean, I've been here in the valley for an awfully long time, decades, and I remember back when we'd have these hot days in the summer, but it would cool off at night. Like that sun would go down and it would really cool down, and by the morning it was pretty cool. And those days seem to be gone. We're not getting the same amount of cooling that we used to. And that's troubling because it's hotter and it stays hotter. And I don't know about the rest of you. I went out last week. I love this. I love being vaccinated and going out and doing stuff. And I went to a restaurant on a Thursday for lunch. And I walk in this place, and it's like warm. I was getting something to go, and it was hot. It was just hot. I mean, their air conditioning obviously wasn't working. They have an open kitchen, and I kind of stood in there waiting for my food. I'm thinking, wow, this is brutal. I mean, it's just really hot in here. And then Friday night we went to dinner in a nice little restaurant with an open kitchen right there, and it was hot. And I asked them what's going on. They said, yeah, one of our air conditioners is out. We're trying to get it repaired. We can't get anybody out here. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I feel so lucky that my air conditioning is held up. And then guess what happened on Saturday? The house starts getting warmer. It was scary. And I start calling around. I don't know if you've dealt with this yet this year, but 6 days in a row of 115 degrees, go ahead and call any of these air conditioning repair places. They're busy. They're inundated with people calling them. So they said the earliest they'd be able to talk to me, this is last Saturday, the earliest they'd be able to talk to me is Tuesday. Tuesday. And it's that hot. Now, I got lucky. I don't know what happened. I think my unit was just kind of struggling to keep up, couldn't keep up. And then as we got closer to the evening, it started to work again and kind of started cooling things down. So I was okay. But boy, there are people losing their AC right now. And there's just no, there's no really anything in sight here to help them out with that. But more than that, we're heading into this mega drought. And we're going to talk about this coming up this hour on the program. But what happens with our water? And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the Southwest in general has grown hotter and drier over the past decade. And as a result of that, we're seeing more of these fires that you've been hearing about here on KTAR. That Backbone fire, they're evacuating now in Strawberry and Pine due to that fire. This is just a really bad combination of hot weather, dry weather, longer periods of that, no rain. It's a dangerous combination. And it was interesting. I read something, I remember a year or two ago, and it talked about with the warming in the Southwest, it talked about how hot things were getting, whether or not Phoenix, for example, will be habitable in the future. In other words, will we be able to live here, at least all of us, like the volume and the population that we have here, will we even be able to live in Phoenix if these temperatures keep up and keep getting hotter and the water situation continues to get worse as it has over the last couple of decades? Are we going to be able to be here? Because at some point, we can't. I mean, at some point, you can't keep bringing more people in and adding to this heat island and adding to the use of water. It's kind of a scary thing, to be honest with you. I mean, this new normal that we have right now is that the temperatures the temperatures are just higher. The new average temperatures have gone up everywhere, but the average temperature in the Southwest has been rising between a half a degree and 1 degree basically each year. I mean, this is really, really scary stuff. The updated averages show that large decreases in water and rain across the Southwest over the last 10 years, saying that the average is now, it's going down an average of 10% each year. I mean, this is really a dangerous combination where the weather, the climate is changing. I'm not trying to get in a whole argument with you about climate change. I'm living in the reality of where we are right now. It's hotter. It's hotter for longer periods of time. It's drier. We don't have rain. That's where we are. I don't know what's causing it. I'm not here to get in an argument with you. I'm just talking about how we are living here. We live in the desert, and it's going to be more and more difficult to live here. And it's something that has to be addressed. And amazingly, there seems to be very little, and of course there isn't much in the way of political strength, to deal with this. And we can't cool it down. Even if we were to go, you know, full liberal and start doing all this green stuff, and that's not going to change the weather just here. We have to change it around the world. But the question I'd be asking our politicians right now, you know, water has always been the heart of living in the desert. We have to have water. And we've had politicians over the decades that have secured a water supply for Arizonans. That's how we get that Colorado River water in Arizona. We got that because our politicians 50 years ago, they went to Congress, they passed laws, they did things to ensure that we would have that water supply that allowed the valley in Arizona to grow. That's how we did it. Without that, we couldn't do it. There's not enough rain, there's not enough water. And I don't see the politicians now, they talk about it, and I know they deal with it a little bit in Washington, but I don't see anything being done to get us more water, if that's possible. And then, two, for the local politicians, from the governor on down, talking about ways to conserve water, to treat this like an actual precious resource that it is. We've lived here, and look, I've been in the Valley of the Sun for, you know, 40 years, since I was a kid. It has always been an issue. It's always been an amazing thing to me that we have this population here in the valley. We live in the desert, and yet we plant grass and we have trees that aren't supposed to grow here, and we water things, and we have mist systems. I mean, that's one of my pet peeves. I drive downtown, or you'll drive across town, and you'll see restaurants that have patios outside. There's nobody on the patio. There's nobody sitting outside because it's hot, but the mist systems are on. And it's like the restaurants are using it to show people they're open. It's like a flashing open sign. But they're pumping water into the air. They're wasting water. And we have no regulations about these things. You know, we've all seen it where, look, and I'm as guilty as this. I have grass. We just got rid of some of our grass, actually. Got rid of all of our grass in the backyard. We put in some other stuff. And part of the reason we did that is we don't want to keep watering. But I know it's nice to have grass. I'm not here to yell at people for having grass. But as a society, we have to decide. Do we want to water our lawns? Or do we want to be able to take a shower and drink water? These are the decisions we're going to have to start making. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the program as well. But this isn't going away. This isn't a one-year thing. The trends are showing that it's getting hotter, it's getting drier, and it's going to be more and more difficult to live and grow here in the Valley of the Sun. All right, coming up, this has been happening a lot. You've seen this all through COVID. We saw it a lot with the people who didn't want to wear masks or who were yelling at you about wearing masks, whatever it was, where they'd put a video of it or a picture online, right, on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and say, all right, who is this? You know, they'd say, Twitter, do your job. And the people would look at the picture and figure out who it was. And then you'd start to see things, they call it doxing, where they start to publish these people, their address and their phone numbers. And I think most of us agree that's not right. But also a lot of these folks lose their jobs and things like that. We're going to talk about some of that. How far should society go when one of us does something bad, egregious, and should it mean you lose your job or your ability to get a job? That's next. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. I'm Barry Markson.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, tomorrow we will be giving you the chance to win tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Make sure you're tuning into the Mike Broomhead Show tomorrow. You could be going to the sold-out game on Tuesday night. You have to be listening tomorrow, 8 to 12, to the Mike Broomhead Show. So stay in, stay tuned to KTAR for that. You know, this next thing, this has been going on for a while now. And it's been, and some people would say it's getting worse, and some people would say it's being deserved, but it's, they call it doxing. It's when somebody does something publicly and the community, I guess, punishes the person by putting their information out there. Maybe one of the most famous ones was, if you remember, in Central Park in New York, it was a guy who used to go. There was an area of Central Park where you're not supposed to bring dogs or animals because you bird watch. They have a whole area there where they just watch all these crazy birds that come in for some reason. And there was an African-American gentleman who was there watching the birds, and a lady came in with her dog, which he's not supposed to do, and he started asking her, her dog was digging something up or doing something he wasn't supposed to do, and he asked her, he was a nice guy, and asked her to stop, and she got all upset and started to call the police and said that there was a black man who was, I forget if it was attacking her or being aggressive with her, I don't remember what it was. It became a whole big thing. She was obviously in the wrong, and they publicized who she was. They figured out who it was. It went viral, and that woman, who had a good job and a nice little life, lost her job. People figured out where she lived and where her phone number was, and she was just getting threatening calls and death threats and everything else, lost her job, lost everything, lost her dog for a little while. They eventually gave the dog back, and that's called doxing. And that's happened a lot during coronavirus, right? You've been on Twitter and Instagram, people posting those videos, they called them the Karens, right? Or whenever somebody would freak out about, you know, somebody say, you're not wearing a mask, you are wearing a mask, whoever it was, and they'd yell at somebody and do a whole public thing. And then they put it on Twitter and say, who is this person? And they'd find out who it is and publicize that. And then that guy would lose his job and everything else. So that's still going on. And I asked the question, is that appropriate or not? And now I will start by telling you, I don't think it's ever appropriate to put somebody's address where they live, their address and phone number online. I don't think that's the right thing to do, where you know you're going to be drawing people calling you and complaining and threatening you and things like that. That can be dangerous because there's a lot of crazy people out there. But I ask, if somebody does something somewhat violent or offensive in public that we would normally not accept, but they think they're hiding behind anonymity, is it fair game to let the people in their life know, their employer or their friends, hey, this is your person, this is your guy? And here's an example of something that happened. There's a person named Laura Jadid who was in Washington, D.C., and she was there working as a reporter. She was there covering the Million MAGA March on November 14th last year. And all of a sudden, a man wearing an American flag gator mask approached her, stepped on her toes, and began yelling at her and called her a stupid B-word. And his mask fell down, and he's yelling at her. And then a crowd formed around her with other men, and all the men were unmasked, and they're all screaming at her. And she felt very threatened. I mean, I understand that, obviously. And they were touching her in some degree and stepping on her toes. And she was able to get away. Now, she was a reporter, so she had been filming this, and she had the whole thing on camera. So afterwards, she went home and looked at her video, or went to the office and looked at her video, and then posted it online, and it went viral. And this main guy who started it and was the worst guy, people identified who he was. His name's Edward Dawson. And it went out. People went out and found his private records, or the public records about his house and where he lived and all this stuff. The information was given to his employer. He worked as an iron worker. And then the next day or 2 days later, he lost his job. Lost his job as an iron worker. His wife did a kind of a crying video saying everything that happened to her. She had been working at Walmart, and they let her go. Now, she thinks it's because of this, but she also said, I had missed a lot of time due to some other separate issues. But regardless, their life was turned upside down. And on top of that, they were getting threatening calls and things like that. So my question is that ever appropriate? Has that crossed the line? Now, I would argue with this guy, Edward Dawson, he kind of gets what he has coming to him. Now, again, I wouldn't give out his phone number. I'm not looking for people to threaten him physically or things like that. But if you want to be in public and act in an uncivil way, potentially an illegal way, frankly, if he's putting his hands on or stepping on someone's feet purposely and things like that. And by the way, you don't have to put your hands on somebody for it to be assault. What he did was an assault. Should you be exposed? Should your employer know about that? Should people in your life who may not think that's you know that's you? And I'm not talking, this isn't a political statement. This isn't somebody who was protesting somewhere on their own or somebody who went somewhere and held a sign. This is somebody who attacked, in essence, assaulted a woman. And should that be, should the punishment, for, should that just go? Should we just leave that alone and everybody move on with their lives? Or if we can figure out who he is and have him live some sort of a punishment, have him, have that affect his life, should that be allowed? I'd argue yes. I'd argue yes. Now, that's different to me, and I'm, everybody's gonna have their own line here. What this guy did is different than somebody screaming about not wearing a mask in a store, right? I mean, is it the same thing if a guy doesn't want to wear a mask in Trader Joe's and he goes in and they ask him to wear the mask in Trader Joe's or Costco and he just starts screaming at him and being upset and being political? Should that guy's name be publicized? Should he lose his job? How long should somebody be unemployed because they made a scene in public? Obviously, if you disagree with their politics, you might think, yeah, they should be punished. They should lose their job. They should have their life turned upside down. Look what they did. But that's an awfully big punishment, isn't it? It's an awfully big punishment to say you lose your job, and every time somebody Googles your name for the rest of your life, that's the first thing that's going to pop up. The first thing that's going to come up is, this guy did this, and here's a video of him acting like an idiot. Now, maybe some people deserve that. Maybe people act like idiots all the time. And that, if you do, maybe you do deserve to be punished for that. But I think a lot of people, it's been stressful. You're having a bad day. Somebody said something to you before the video camera came on. Who knows? Should a one-off thing cause you to change your entire life? Should that cause you to lose friends, lose your job, lose the ability to make a living? But that I think is the difficulty of where we draw the line here. Should we be doxing with names and with addresses and phone numbers? No. The rest of it, I think, a little bit more of a gray area. Hey, coming up, we just mentioned this before. We're living in the desert, but we don't act like we live in the desert when it comes to water here in the Valley of the Sun. We're going to talk about some of the things we could be doing and some of the things they may make us do next on KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. I'm Barry Marks and filling in on KTAR. Thanks for being here. Going to be a little chilly today. Grab a sweater. 109 is the high. Down from our high over the last week of somewhere in the neighborhood of 147. So it is going to be a little more bearable today, but keep an eye on it. It's going to be a little chillier and then back up again. So it is warm. And this brings up what we're going to talk about now, and it's water. It's the ability, it's the availability of water here in the Valley of the Sun. It's something that we take for granted all the time. And it's always amazed me. I've lived out here for decades now, and I've always been surprised how we treat water like it's not an issue. I mean, we live in the desert where if we get 7 inches, 7.5 inches of rain a year, that's like a good year now. That used to be the average. That now is like a great year if we hit that. We're getting way less than that. Our reservoirs, our lakes, everything is at its low point. It hasn't been good for a long time. I mean, I drove over Lake Mead, where you go when you're going to and from Las Vegas, several years ago, and it was frightening, to be honest with you. It was startled me, and then it was frightening to see how low Lake Mead had gotten. And you can see where it used to be on the sides and where it is now. And that's something we're seeing all over the place with our lakes here around Arizona. And more importantly, the Colorado River and the water that we get to sustain living here in the desert. And it's always surprised me, really ever since I moved here from back east, decades ago, that we treat – maybe because there's so many transplants from back east, from Chicago, from other places that have normal weather with more rainfall, where they have grass and trees and shrubs and the types of things that require water, as opposed to desert plants that don't require a lot of water. We've all heard about that, right? Xeriscape, where you have the granite, the rocks, and the kind of plants that don't require a lot of watering or even any watering. But we all, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody. We all want, you know, a lushness. We want a pretty house. We want to live in a neighborhood and in a house that has plants and grass and things like that. Again, I'm as guilty as anyone. I'm not throwing stones here. But we always take that to the next step, right? I mean, there's restaurants. A lot of us have mist systems in our backyard, which frankly doesn't even bother me that much, because I'm assuming we turn them on and off. We turn it on only when we're going to use it. It drives me crazy when I see restaurants and businesses that just turn the outside mist system on like they're turning the lights on when they arrive at work that day, and it stays on all day. just pumping water into the air. It's such a, there's nobody outside, nobody there. It's such a waste of water. It's creating more humidity. It does nothing. It's so useless. But my point is, there are no rules about these things. And when you look at what other states have done, you wonder, why hasn't Arizona ever done this? Why? And I'm not even, I never before really wanted there to be laws. I wasn't looking for things like Nevada had, where they said you can only water your lawn every other day or every third day. And depending on what your address was, it was depending on, you know, whether you're even and odd, what day you'd be allowed to water your lawn. And nobody liked it, right? The grass needs more. It's hot there like it is here. But people live with it, and it saves a bunch of water. And they don't want to do it. In Arizona, not only don't we have any laws that regulate the use of water, we don't even have a politician who stands up and says, hey, we live in the desert. We have limited water. It's getting less and less. We have less and less water every year. Let's all try to do a few things. Here's something I suggest. Let's limit emptying and filling our pool. Let's water our lawn. You know, in order to have a lawn grow in Arizona, maybe, I don't know how much you need. You need this much water a day, spread out twice a day, whatever it is. Let's make sure we're limiting it to that. Let's make sure we don't have any leaking pipes or things that's wasting water. Let's make sure when we are watering our lawn, it's not running off into the street and down the curb. There's all sorts of things that guidance, that leadership could have helped with. And I'm not blaming just Governor Ducey and the current crop of politicians. This is going back. It's going back decades. Nobody's ever said, hey, we live in the desert. Let's be more careful about how we use our water. Well, now it's coming home to roost. We are going to have less water available to us. And we knew this was coming. We've known it for years and years and years. And still no guidelines, let alone laws, to do anything. The Arizona Department of Water Resource, they're coming out. They're trying to come out with a proposal now to limit water use in the Valley of the Sun. And here's one of the things that amazes me. One of the suggestions that they're considering right now is for golf courses, for Phoenix area golf courses, to reduce their combined water use by 3.1% compared to the current allotment under the previous plan. All right, so a 3.1% change in water. And the golf courses are pushing back and saying no. And I see this and I think, you have got to be kidding me. We are watering golf courses when we're not going to have enough water to live here. And we're watering golf courses, and the golf courses, instead of being great corporate members of our community, are saying, no, we don't want to do this. We want it to be about half of a reduction of what you're saying. And more than that, we're not just disagreeing at the negotiating table. We're going to lobby you. We're going to try to get our members, people who like to play golf, and the public to lobby you. We've created websites to encourage people to say, don't change our golf. Really? So the grass has to be that green. We can't cut the water 3%. 3%. And the golf courses don't want that to happen. Governor Ducey spoke at their event in April. The golf course industry, it's not just them. Others are pushing back on this as well. We have a Groundwater Management Act, and we're still arguing about how much groundwater is there, even though we know those levels are going down. We know there's less water that's going to be available to all of us, And we can't even come up with some agreement. They're trying to work this out, but some agreement on how to do this. I'm stunned that the golf courses would do this. I really am. There's 165 golf courses in the Phoenix area. They use various sources of water. Look, some are using reclaimed water. That's different. Treated wastewater. That's different. But if they're using, a lot of them are using Colorado water and groundwater, and they don't want to reduce the amount of water they use, it's incredible. The golf courses here in the Phoenix area, from wells, from groundwater wells, used an average, the same amount of water every year, get ready for this, of 130,000 single-family homes. The same amount of water as what 130,000 single-family homes would use. It's incredible. And they don't want to cut it 3%. It's really, really amazing. And what I'm calling for is, I want to see the governor and I want to see other politicians stand up, the mayors. Nobody wants to hear this, and that's why the politicians don't do it. Nobody wants to hear you can't water your lawn as much. Nobody wants to hear take a shorter shower. We don't want to hear it. We've been ignoring it for decades. But if you want to be a leader here, start telling the people the truth. We have a problem. We have an absolute problem. Our groundwater is going down. Our well water is going down. The amount we have available from the Colorado River, our allocation is going down. We have less water, less than we need. and something has to be done, or we're going to get to a really bad spot here. And I think we'd all be willing to step up. I think most of us would say, sure, tell me what to do. Give me some guidance. Let me do my part. And nobody does it. Stand up and ask. You don't have to regulate. You don't have to put laws in place. Just ask us. Ask us to do this and that and explain why. I think you'll find most people will do it. All right, coming up, if I told you that if you ate just a little bit of a certain food type, that's pretty good, and it would reduce the chance of you getting cancer by 45%, would you do it? That's next on KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hi, here we go. I'm Barry Markson in for Broomhead. Thanks for being here. Hope you're having a good start to your week, and hope everybody had a nice Father's Day yesterday. This is great news. I love seeing stuff where you just eat a little bit of something and you're healthy, right? I love this kind of stuff. Well, here's the latest. A study just came out and said if you eat 2 medium-sized mushrooms a day, you reduce your chance of getting cancer by 45%. Can you believe that? 2 medium-sized mushrooms a day. That's it. And you're going to reduce your chance of getting cancer by 45%. Wow. And they're saying it. Some mushrooms are better than others, but they all give you this kind of protection. Shiitake, oyster, maritake, king mushrooms, king oyster mushrooms, all of those are the best. But even if you're just doing the white mushrooms or crimini's or portobellos, those give you protection too. Now, mushrooms, some people don't. I like mushrooms. I love mushrooms. Some people don't like the mushrooms. But maybe we need to start figuring out. I guess that's the next thing you'll see, right, is like mushroom powder and your vitamins or something. That'll be the next thing that's mixed in with the protein powder people take, whatever it may be. But this is crazy that mushrooms have this much power over cancer is kind of amazing. I'm not saying you got to eat a basket full of mushrooms. 2 mushrooms. 2. Slice up a couple of mushrooms, throw them in with your scrambled eggs in the morning. Boom. You reduce your chance of cancer by 45%. Like I said, I like mushrooms, but I'm going to go out of my way now to eat more mushrooms. Steve Zinsmeister, you like mushrooms, right?
The food, right?
Yeah. Take it easy. Take it
yes,
easy.
I like mushrooms.
Come on.
Wait, so if I eat 2 and I'm 45% protected from cancer?
Yes.
So does that mean if I eat 4, I'm 90% protected from cancer?
look at you trying to.
Because I'll eat 4.
Look at you trying to do math. I like that. It's cute. No, I don't know that it gives you any more than that, but. If you mix in some fruit and vegetables, you might have a little. You might even have
all
a little
right,
better
that's
protection.
That's pushing it. Yeah,
don't go crazy.
I don't want to go there.
2 mushrooms, though. It's incredible. 2 much. It's nothing. It's 18 grams. They said. I don't even know what that is, but it's like 2 little mushrooms. I'm trying to think already. What am I going to put mushrooms on? I'm going to put it in salads. It's going to be everywhere now.
Does the cancer reduction change based on how I prepare the mushrooms?
It doesn't say anything about that.
Do I have to eat them raw?
Nope.
Can I saute them?
Yes. You can saute them in butter, and your cancer risk will still go down 45%.
Wow.
Yes. It's incredible.
I love butter. I don't know if that needed to be said.
I can't tell you're not going to gain any weight, but you're gonna have less. It's almost a 50% reduction in the chance to get cancer. That's incredible. Now, I have to give you the warning. It's a single study. It hasn't gone through other studies seeing if this is right or not. But this is pretty strong proof. I mean, look, even if it's not 45%, let's say it's a third. They've eaten some 2 mushrooms a day, you drop your risk of getting cancer by 33%. You'd be all over that, right?
Does the type of mushroom matter?
They say that some are better than others, but they're all really good. So the shiitake, oyster, maritake, king oyster mushrooms, those have the highest amounts of amino acids and a bunch of other stuff that's good for you. But they said even if it's just the white button mushroom, right, the most basic mushroom you have in the store, or the crimini's or the portobellos, any of those, if you incorporate them into your diet, you're going to reduce the risk of getting cancer by 45%. That's amazing.
For the record, we still don't recommend you eat the mushrooms growing in your backyard.
Well, depends on what kind they are.
I don't know.
Now, in the way the mushrooms you have, Steve, apparently, I don't know if they help the same way. So that'd be another issue for
you. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into what mushrooms I have.
It's interesting, though, this study, as people were commenting on the study, they're saying that in a lot of Asian cultures, mushrooms, they've always known this, that mushrooms have great antioxidants and great immune therapy powers and things like that have always been used both in Asian cooking and in Asian medicine, which is very interesting.
I still will not eat mushroom pizza.
What? Why?
Even because of this.
Oh.
Because there are better things to put on pizza.
Well, sausage mushroom is pretty good. That's a pretty good pizza, Steve. Come on now. Don't get crazy on me.
What I'm hearing you say is eating mushroom pizza will protect me from cancer.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Okay.
You can cover the mushrooms in cheese
sold.
And sauce, and you'll protect yourself from cancer. I can't make it any easier for you. What am I going to say? The only thing I can do is say, throw some pepperoni on that, too, and you're down to 55%. Then what else can I do?
I'm now at risk for a lot of other things, but...
Two mushrooms.
Not cancer.
You have mushroom pizza every day. You'll live to be 100.
Wow. Can I get that in writing?
I'm just going to call it a broomhead guarantee.
Fair enough. We'll put his name on it.
Exactly. Oh, well, I got to tell you, I thought that was pretty good news. If you can't handle mushrooms, do it like Steve says. Put it in pizza. Put it in something else. But, man, find a way to incorporate mushrooms into your diet. That's an amazing study to have come out. All right. Coming up right after the news, Jeff Munns here in the KTER News Center. He'll bring you all the latest. And then I want to get into what's going on here in the state. We don't have a budget yet. And the law in Arizona is the budget has to be done by the end of June, 10 days away. If it's not done, I think we start closing some government stuff. I mean, I think things start to close down. Governor Ducey wants his tax cut proposal in place, the flat tax thing. We're going to talk about that and why there are some Republicans who are balking and saying they can't vote for it. I'm Barry Markson, in for Broomhead. It's KTAR.